Hello, everyone, and welcome to Note to Scene, a music news podcast covering everything from pop punk to metalcore. I'm Matt Crane.
I'm Tyler Sharp.
And welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, where every week we discuss and debate all the biggest news stories in the music scene. Find more episodes of this show on Apple Podcasts, where you should please rate and review us. Email us at notescene@gmail.com. This week, we're going to be doing something special and counting down our most anticipated scene albums of 2018. Some heavy hitters in there. New year, new music. Let's go. We're back, Tyler.
Note to Scene 2018. How you feeling, man? New year.
It's going to be the year that makes or breaks the scene.
I have my
doubts.
This is
the last one, man. This is the last Warped. This is it. I mean, it's all in.
The scene's got to go all in this year. And as we're going to find out over the course of this episode, it is, because we got some heavy hitters to talk about.
This is the last chance, guys.
If we really
want to keep this scene alive, you gotta, I don't know, do something. You participate somehow. So
buy
some
CDs.
Maybe. Yeah. I want to apologize to, we got to issue a little note scene apology to Ty Accord from the band Issues, formerly of the band Issues. Apparently took issue with the fact that I referred to him as a SoundCloud rapper on our Issues episode we did, where we talked about Michael Bone, the screamer, getting kicked out of the band. And so I just wanted to apologize for that, because, you know, I looked, doing the research, at his Twitter. He is a SoundCloud musician, you know, who has rapped in the past and is willing to rap in the future, but doesn't currently rap, but makes music on SoundCloud. So we want to make sure we're very accurate here at Note to Scene and issue our apologies to Mr. Accord. And I got to admit, dude, doing the research for that Issues episode, you know, I just saw his Twitter, saw all of his music was on SoundCloud, clicked a SoundCloud thing, heard a weird beat. I'm like, dude's a SoundCloud rapper. Just, you know, just figured how it was with the times.
And you never even said it like you were describing him as fact on the show. You said it in passing after I said something. This just, you know, further goes to show how these band bros really act. Notice how he didn't comment at all on the fact of the topic of the episode, i.e. Michael being gone from the band.
Yeah, weird. I mean, as that band goes down in flames, weirdly though, dude, I didn't even notice Ty Accord is like, and like Zed are like all signed to the same label, and like
there's a thing going on.
They're making him a thing. He's on like electric festivals and stuff. Like,
there's a
really
thing.
Interesting sidebar. Bro might have a career. But okay, so we got a lot to cover with our most anticipated scene albums of 2018. So no listener questions this week. Sorry. And we're just gonna get right into it. The 14 most anticipated scene albums of 2018. Before we do, gotta give your shouts to Alt Press. Shouts to M'Shea, shouts to JP, Paolo the Bulldog, everybody over there.
Absolutely.
You know, the Alternative Press really does the legwork in reporting and learning about all these releases, you know, before they come out. And they've been doing it for years. That's how we learn when our favorite bands are dropping albums, is AP gets the scoop and you read about it in AP.
Mm-hmm.
And so just gotta thank them for that, because without that, we wouldn't know about a lot of these releases coming out. Okay, so let's start at number 14, Tyler Sharp. Number 14, most anticipated scene album, From First to Last. How sure are we on this, homie?
I have no confirmation if it's going to be a quote-unquote album, as in full length, or if it's going to be an EP. We know for a fact that there is at least one new song, because they played it at the Emo Night Fest about a month and a half back. And it sounded fire. But other than that, we don't have anything like confirmed yet.
I am 85% sure it's a full length album.
Okay.
From everything I've been able to piece together. But yeah, I'm not at 100%. That's why it's so low on the list. But I can guarantee you at least an EP. We are talking EP to full length.
For sure.
A musical release is happening. It's basically confirmed. It's just the length that is up for debate, but I'm pretty sure it's the full length and it's coming. And it's huge, you know? The OG, you know, the original Sleeping with Sirens, the OG freaking emo kids are coming back with Sonny Moore, aka Skrillex.
It's a massive deal. And from what I've heard some rumors. Again, this isn't confirmed, but we're getting a new song soon, quote unquote.
Soon. So, yeah. I've heard that too. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I'm sure it's going to be the song that they played at the Emo Night Fest, which is called Surrender. And yeah, you can go look up videos on YouTube of it. It sounds great.
You know, Sonny, not much planned for Skrillex in 2018. Right? So it kind of it makes sense. I think you might see a tour. So, From First to Last might come try to just take back the scene, you know?
That's definitely kind of what
I want to hear. Emily, I want to hear Note to Self.
Right, right. Could you, all I want in 2018, as the scene goes down, is for Sonny Moore to be on an empty stage with an acoustic guitar singing Emily. Is that too much to
Absolutely.
Ask?
That's a good way to lay it to bed. I am down with that.
I think
I'm in.
My one question for you, Matt, does From First to Last with Sonny Moore play a Warp, at least one Warp tour date this year?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask, do they include Philip Reardon on one show?
Oh, my God. New Tragic reunion, new Tragic opening.
Or John Weisberg. Let's get John Weisberg back up in here. Dude, let's get, what's his name? Let's get Wes Borland back,
from
man.
From Limp Bizkit.
Let's do it.
Yep.
That was my favorite incarnation of the band, when they just had the Limp Bizkit guy in there for some reason. I was down with that.
2005, 2006?
Yeah, 06. Warped.
Cycle. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Good times, man. Wes is apparently a really nice guy, actually.
That's
like, he's
what
nothing
I've heard.
Like good.
So, do you think they'll play a Warped Tour date? If not, the whole tour?
Man.
Could you imagine?
You know, I've heard a couple weird things about Warped Tour, so I don't know.
Same.
That's a whole other thing we're going to have to get into soon, is Warped Tour and how the fuck that's going to go down. But I don't know that they're going to do it. I think they might be doing their own thing.
It's tough. Yeah. Yeah. I could see.
I think there's going to be a From First to Last tour. You know what I'm saying?
Gosh,
like,
who even opens
a Dear Diary? You know, who opens it? That's a good question.
Hawthorne Heights, Red Jumpsuit Apparatus.
No, too trash. No legacy there.
Oh my gosh.
Like Escape the Fate with Ronnie.
Oh,
you know, like,
come on,
maybe,
man. I mean,
like,
if you were able to get Ronnie and Escape the Fate, then I say go for it. But no fucking way with Craig. Okay. That would just be terrible.
No, not with Craig, obviously. No, not this Escape. I'm saying if you were, like, literally the old Escape the Fate with Max, Ronnie,
All right.
You know, they were
I'd be down with that.
They were so descendant from, you know, they stole so much from them and just kind of combined it with hair metal that...
Totally.
Could make sense. We've spent too much time on our little pancake fan. Okay, number 13, Tyler Sharp. The number 13 most anticipated album, Knocked Loose.
The boys.
This is coming out on Pure Noise again, right?
Yep, as far as we know, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Okay, so this is where you sell me on Knocked Loose, Tyler Sharp.
So, Laugh Tracks, their debut album, was released in 2016, and it did 4,300 first week. It has sold 12,000 traditional copies on the cycle. They have tons of online hype. I mean, their streaming numbers aren't crazy, but they're reputable for a lower-level hardcore band, and that's what they are. This album, like you've told me in conversations off the episode, Knocked Loose has to write their version of Bring Me the Horizon Suicide Season.
They just seem like they're right at that point, you know, where what Bring Me did from, you know, the Pray for Plagues era to Suicide Season. Knocked Loose are right there. Because like you said, they have low streaming numbers. You know, they're still a low level, like, hardcore band.
Absolutely.
But they have this so much hype and awareness and exposure right now that if they put out just a fucking bopper of an album, you know, something that fucking moves and is fun and it's catchy,
it'll catapult
them. They could be the next Bring Me, you know? And before you know it, 5 years down the road, you see your man Brian, like, in a Drowned video. You know what I mean? Singing. Like, imagine that shit. But, like, that, you know, that sounded just as crazy probably to old school Bring Me fans, you know, if you would have told them that 10 years ago.
Totally. I want to live in that world.
There's a real path for this band, and they have to do it on this album. And I'm concerned that, you know, it's coming out on Pure Noise, and I don't know.
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't worried too, but like we're saying, you know, Bring Me made the transition from a deathcore band to a metalcore band. Knocked Loose have to make the transition from a hardcore band to a metalcore band in their own way. Like, Suicide Season doesn't sound like your average metalcore record. And no, in 2008, it was way before its time. And there's really...
It's a fun, jammy record, is what it is.
There wasn't really another scene metalcore album that sounded like Suicide Season. It was so bouncy and so catchy.
There was still the essence of deathcore there. You know, he would drag those vocals, and you're like, oh, I remember when that was sick. You know, like, it felt a little dangerous still. Yeah. And so Knock Loose need to feel dangerous still, but they need to do a pop. Mike, I have a question for you. Can Brian sing?
TBD. TBD. we don't know
any home shows or anything. You never heard him?
Never. He's a pretty shy guy, and he's come a little bit more out of his shell as the band has grown, but back in the day when I would see them play, you know, basements and garages, he was a pretty shy guy, and he wouldn't really ever come out of his shell that much, especially on stage. I mean, he stayed with those high-pitched screams the entire time.
So I wonder, like, if he can sing, that gets me real fucking excited.
Same. I want to hear a Knocked Loose song with clean vocals.
Like, dude's low-key kind of a poster boy. Like, let's just face it.
Absolutely.
He's got very pretty hair for a man. Uh-huh. And if he can sing and be a front man, and this band can put out some catchy track, there's just, like, excitement there.
There's definitely a potential that I'm really excited for, but...
Quote he gave all press, he said, I'm having pretty bad writer's block. Mm-hmm. It's pretty discouraging. So that's a little worrying.
But I mean, they can play with Agnostic Front on the weekend for the rest of forever. You know, like, that's cool. That's cred. But I mean, do you want to have to work a real job for the rest of your life, too, and be in a band? Like, be the big band you can be, Knocked Loose. I believe in you. You have an opportunity here.
It's like, you are my only hope.
All right.
Let's move on. Number 12 is Water Parks. The album Entertainment is coming out January 26th via Eagle Vision. We've heard the lead single, Blonde, which Tyler and I gushed about on an earlier episode. You can go listen to it. It's called Our Water Parks, The Next All-Time Low, or some bullshitty title that we would do like that. And we heard the single Lucky People as well. So, you know, Stupid For You was a hit for the band, but the album Double Dare flopped. Didn't sell anything.
Sold 9,000 on the cycle, and it did 2,000 first week.
Total flop. But the band had been getting the blowout press coverage. Blonde is a legitimately great single, I think.
Agreed.
And it has sort of put them in this spot where they kind of feel a little like an all-time low ascendant, but like a bit more emo. And I checked their Spotify plays, and impressively, they are up to 240,000 monthly Spotify listeners. So, like, that's way bigger than where they were a few months ago. So there is some growth. I feel like I'm finally actually seeing some growth happening.
So outside of the new songs, like you just said, we loved Blonde. It's a fun song. 8 out of 10 for me. I was really surprised, and I hated to give Water Parks the recognition, but they deserved it. The second single was a flop. It was an acoustic song. Horrible move by the label. And that's where I want to start my angle, is that Equal Vision is apparently botching this release hard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen Austin's tweets lately, but he sent out a slew of them yesterday, I believe it was, that he deleted. And it started with, quote, fuck an incompetent label, officially fully disgusted, 1,000 fuck yous endlessly. And then he quoted an Equal Vision Records tweet promoting the album, saying only 20 more days till Entertainment. And he says, quote, fix your gross, careless mistakes you made with my art that I've almost ruined myself over, and it'll be even more worth the wait. Fucking excuse.
Yeah, I mean, he's been slamming Equal Vision. It's no secret he's not happy there. Let's have the Equal Vision talk, you know? Equal Vision Records used to be fucking Chiodos, you know, fucking peak We Came as Romans,
right?
You know what I mean? They used to be a powerhouse record label, Pierce the Veil. You know, this used to be a big label. They're not a big label anymore. They don't have power. They don't. What are the bands? Who are all the? Name me some of those weirdo bands they've been signing lately that you're just like, what? Why? You know, it's like they're just not a big label. They can't compete with a Hopeless or a Fearless or a Rise.
Right.
Which is kind of why you wonder when you look at Water Parks. Okay, so, like, you might not like Water Parks. You might not get it. But in a certain world, you can see how water parks could be one of these kind of bands to save the scene if they blew up, you know?
Ugh.
Like, just the younger all-time low. Like, we might need another one, you know? And you would wonder why that kind of band would be signed to a label like Equal Vision. Like, that seems like a mistake to me, that they were signed to such a small label. Like, they should be on Hopeless with an upstream, you know, to a major.
I agree.
Cooked into their contract.
I totally agree.
Because if we're going to do the full commercial push like we have with this band, you know, and it's weird to me. I just wonder if they signed that deal before, you know, the Madden brothers were managing them.
I think they did, absolutely.
Okay, because you just went for the guys from Good Charlotte, the Madden brothers are managing them, and they are some of the best managers out there. You wouldn't think they would have let their band sign to a small label like Equal Vision, even though they used to. Powerhouse.
Right. Water Parks released an EP that no one even remembers on Equal Vision a few years ago. So I guarantee it was before the Madden Brothers ever got their hands on them. But pop punk is a dying world, man. Like, these guys, I'm just convinced that these guys are going to exist in their bubble for a few more album cycles, and then they're just going to fade away. I just don't think there's a home for pop punk anymore.
I don't know about that. But
I mean, just think about all the things that we've talked about on the show. We kind of have two different worlds of pop punk existing right now. We have the quote unquote new wave, which is becoming the old wave of Neck Deep, Knuckle Punk.
The like old rusted wave now, like Real Friends and shit.
The new
but
old
like,
wave.
Yeah. And then you have the new wave who they're just basically local bands, right? I mean, they're not big, you know, if you're talking
about. We have these new neon bands. Like, that's what they are.
Yeah.
It's Water Parks. It's In a Weird World, Sleep on It. And Equal
with
Vision
confidence,
is... With Confidence. Well, not
Grayscale,
anymore.
What's the Atlantic band? Something Atlantic? Like Pacific? Sorry. Different ocean.
Different ocean.
You know, like all the new pop up, they're too small. You know, Will Away. Like, they're
That's
all
the
too.
Problem. That's the problem.
They're too small.
As far as Equal Vision is concerned, Johnny Minardi was an A&R there, and he left to go back to where he used to work, Fueled by Ramen. And to me, it just feel like ever since he announced his departure from Equal Vision, that record has been on the downslope. And A&Rs don't prop record labels up that much as far as after signing bands, but Equal Vision is botching these releases pretty hard.
I mean, I think Johnny is a great A&R as well, and I'm sure he's gonna do great things at FBR, but I think Equal Vision has been sucking long before he left.
But
you
he
know,
was
like,
doing
name
good things,
the last
man.
He
signed
Nothing
Nowhere
Happened,
nowhere.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a dope thing, but like, name the last like viable thing Equal Vision has done to sustain itself as a business.
They haven't, but when he was working on that label, he was thinking long term, and these bands have potential, and the label's just fucking it over.
I'm just thinking, like, name what's the last thing they did? And
we
you're
came
gonna
as
come
Romans.
Back to We Car. That's it. That's all, it's like it's all they got, and that was too long ago. You know, they just didn't stay ahead of the curve. We're talking about a band, right? Oh, okay, Water Parks, yeah. anything else to say on Water Parks, T Sharp? I'm really interested to hear this record. Like,
I'm
this
worried.
Could be it could be a savior, it could be a game changer, it could be botched by EVR. I don't know.
I'm worried, and I just don't think this band is gonna matter in 5 years.
It's all possible, man.
It is.
They could.
It is.
They could not
we'll
matter
see.
In 5 years, or we could have a golden renaissance, and they could be the next all-time low.
I really hope they
Either
prove me
possible.
Wrong.
They got
point,
it. Like, the engagement is there. Like, the fan base is small but really engaged.
As much
so
as I would
promising.
Hate it, if a Water Parks blow up could reignite the scene,
look,
I would
I
take
didn't
it.
Like. I didn't fucking like when Forever the Sickest Kids were the biggest band in the world
Dude.
And they were on the cover of AP, but I liked the fact that, fuck, you know, I put up with that garbage music because I wanted a scene to survive.
Underdog Alma Mater is 100 times better than anything Water Parks has written in their entire career. That album
I would take
is a
scene. I would take any Water Parks song over every Forever the Sickest Kids.
No, anything post
light
that first Forever the Sickest Kids album is garbage, but that first
light
album.
Light that discography on fire. Seriously.
No, you're wrong there.
We're not going to get in a war over Forever the Sickest Kids here. We at least agree they were the worst neon band.
I never agreed with that.
Of the big ones? Well, I think the Main and Mayday and All Time Low are like better than them. Way better
that
than
first
them.
Album is great, man. And you'll never get me off that boat. I think
they're
there
the
were
worst.
There were a lot worse lower level bands like Sing It Loud and Rocket to the Moon.
You know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Big Boys. The Big Boys, they're the worst ones, right?
But if you think about all the neon bands, they all sucked after the first album, minus All Time Low ish. You know?
Real ish there. Like, it's a hard ish.
I mean, we had the Put Up or Shut Up EP. We had So Wrong It's Right and Nothing Personal. Yeah. I mean, those were gold records, man. Like, those are great music on there.
Yeah. And then you had, like, this, like, extended neon universe of, like, the Ready Set. And,
Love,
dude, that was like a top 10 pop hit, man. They played that on MTV.
Borderline like, nuclear.
Shouts to the boy. I met him. He's actually like really nice. Really nice dude.
He's from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he used to be the drummer for a melodic hardcore band called Saints Never Surrender that were on the label that I work for right now. Blood and Ink
so
Records.
Chill. Super nice dude.
He's a down to earth guy.
Yeah, really down to earth. Wasn't expecting that. What band are we talking about?
Water Parks.
Still, okay,
we gotta move on.
Okay. Number 11, Against the Current. Okay, so Against the Current have an album coming out on Fueled by Ramen this year. So this band, they blew up kind of doing their YouTube cover star thing. And why I think they're going to matter and be important is because they got a big following on YouTube. But, like, Chrissy, their lead singer, she has a fucking amazing voice. And the band of, like, her as a celebrity, her profile has really increased. Like, she just has this really dedicated following. And she takes up a lot of, like, positive causes for women. She's kind of become a leader for younger girls. She talks a lot very openly and kind of bravely about her eating disorder she used to have, where she, I don't want to say she had anorexia because I don't know all the proper terminology, but that is basically what I think she talks about. She had a very serious eating disorder, and she's always posting positive messages for girls. And so this band put out this EP called Gravity a few years ago, and it was fucking brilliant. You had songs like Talk, Paralyzed, the title track. The band sounded like they were ready to be the next Paramore. And then they signed to Fueled by Ramen, and they put out a full length that fucking sucked. And now this is starting to become a little bit of a trend, right? We're seeing, like, they kind of did exactly what An All Time Low did, you know? Like, they signed a Fueled by Ramen, and it was like, oh, this kind of seems like the perfect deal, right? Against the Current, FBR, All Time Low, FBR. And then the album comes out, and it's shit. And it was really disappointing. I think they know the mistakes they made, and I think they're ready to rebound, so.
I hope so. I will listen to this album, but this is not my band. This is totally your band, and I feel like you only gravitated this band because you needed to fill a void that VersaEmerge left.
Okay. Next band, number 10, Dance Gavin Dance. Tyler, I'm going to let you take this one away.
Cool, yes.
Wait, before you take it away.
Okay.
Are they staying with Rise Records for this one?
As far as I know. I'm like 90% sure they're staying with Rise, like, unfortunately.
Where the fuck else are they going to go?
I guess. I don't know. So the last album did 19,000 first week, and it has done 42,000 on the cycle. This band is the biggest they've ever been, and that is the most exciting thing that I pretty much got out of the scene in 2017. And the new album is already done. This is going to be their ninth album, and this band is the biggest they've ever been. That is so exciting to me. And they released a Lucy single before Warped Tour last summer called Summertime Gladness, and it was great. This band just always pumps out quality content faster than anyone else. I'm so stoked for this new album.
You know, I'm really happy for them, and I they are great musicians. It's just
they're just good at music.
I'm done with it. And it's not like I'm over it. It's not like I'm over it. It's just I had enough. You know, like I enjoyed it. Like probably Downtown Battle Mountain 2. Anything post that, I'm just.
Come on, man. Acceptance Speech was iffy, but the two albums after that have been great.
I really loved everything I got from this band, and I felt like I got enough, you know, and I see them doing good things now, and I'm happy for them.
I don't need
to be a part of it. It's just kind of not my, they haven't really put anything that just got me super stoked or pulled me back in yet, but like, I just hear it and I'm like, yeah, that's a really good Dance Gavin Dance song. But, the success can't be denied. Like, that's a steady ship in a very, very rocky sea that we're currently going through in this scene, you know?
Hell yeah. Who would have thought Dance Gavin Dance would be the band to survive the scene?
No way, man. I mean, like, look what a shit show they were.
They were the most dysfunctional band
ever.
Yeah, let's
go back 10. God, have they been around 10 years? That's wild.
Yeah, I mean, they released whatever I say is Royal Ocean in, like, 2006, I think.
Yeah, let's go back 10 years and look at what a shit show that band was and see where they are now. The most cleanest, professional...
Yeah, they got, like, a sheen over them now.
Right, we don't got Johnny falling over on stage anymore. You know what I mean?
Oh,
we don't,
my God.
It's a whole new world.
I recently went back a few weeks ago while I was on break, and I watched the first show they played with Johnny back right before they did Downtown Battle Mountain 2, and he's wasted the entire time. He can barely sing the words.
I apologize for... You know, whatever role I played in propping
100%.
Up Johnny Craig, but I love those records, man. Downtown, like, that's my jam. I love those OG Dance Gavin Dance records. I love those tracks to death.
Everyone
I love
does.
Johnny's voice on them. I just, Lemon Meringue Time, man. I mean, I just, like, I will jam it. It's a classic, you know?
It is.
Times New Roman, obviously.
That's cool that Tillian plays those songs live. Like, he's totally down.
Tillian, that's the whole. Interesting. We gotta do the Tillian cast. I mean, you know how many bands and he's
hundreds,
almost been in.
But right?
Okay, so we gotta go on to our next band, which is number 9. Real Friends are putting out, I wanna say it's their third full length, right?
Correct.
And it's coming out on Fearless Records. Mm-hmm. So here's kind of where we are with Real Friends right now. You know, they were the new wave pop punk band in 2014, right? They were the hot fucking shit too. And now they're part of this class that who used to be the new wave, and now they're kind of becoming the old wave. Like, it's crazy how this happens so fast. So their debut album, Fearless, maybe this place sold like 10,000 first week, which was impressive coming from coming from an unsigned band. But it just, like, at the time felt like it was supposed to set the world on fire, you know, and it was supposed to be like, you know, they were supposed to blow up like a Fall Out Boy, and they just didn't. And then their next record that came out, The Home Inside My Head, sold 9,000 copies. So not only is the band stagnated, they've now decreased in sales. So it's like, it just doesn't look good for Real Friends. It seems like Real Friends have gotten less relevant every 6 months, consistently.
Absolutely. I have super low hopes for this album, despite actually liking the most recent Lucy single that they released. I thought that was a decent cut, but... I mean, their last album sold about 20,000 traditional copies on the cycle, and they're trying. They went to LA to write these new songs for this new album. They're recording now, or they might be done, or they might be going back. I'm not sure, but I really think this band missed their shot, and they're just on the downslope now. They're just kind of throwing darts at the board to see what sticks at this point, if they can get anything, and I don't think they will.
See, the thing about this band is Kyle's always kind of been very honest about how they're fake, you know, like they're really just playing at kids' emotions. It's a very purposeful, emo, nostalgic thing they're doing. So, and I think Kyle gave the quote to AP for Most Anticipated. He said, I feel like on the last record, at some points, we sort of lacked that energy. I think there's a little bit more of a catchiness to the newer stuff. So if we're going to go back to that really catchy EP shit, you know, that could be a good move for the band. Maybe that's what they need to do. Just like a surprise EP of just really old school, catchy Real Friends jams. That might be a better move for them at this point than just dropping a full length.
God, I don't know.
Like, win over some goodwill back from your fans. You know what I mean?
He sounds so unconfident. Like, he doesn't sound... I
he's
think
not a
these
very
songs are
guy
kind
when
of...
When you talk to him in person, he's not... Like,
oh, I know. Like, they
guy.
Grew up playing in Northwest Indiana in the suburbs of Chicago playing shows, and he was in a bunch of failed bands before Real Friends. But, I just... The band doesn't seem stoked about this. Why should I be? I don't know. I'm not excited about this album.
Yeah, I haven't been excited about Real Friends in a very long time.
Yeah.
You know, they're the ultimate letdown for me, because at one point... They were just the hottest shit. Mm-hmm. Every fucking tour wanted to book them. We wanted them on the cover of our magazine. Every fucking, like, every scene label wanted them at one point. You know what I mean? And they were like, nope. And it was just such a disappointment to see them kind of become this just mid-tier, low-level band they've become when they could have been something huge. They really had the hype.
Totally.
And they brought up Knuckle Puck, which that's a crime. You know what I mean? They introduced Knuckle Puck into the
They're
world,
paying
and
for their
that
sins at this point.
yeah, that maybe that's why. You know, this is karma's a bitch and karma's biting back. You know,
Oh,
you brought us
man.
Knuckle Puck, so you suffer. All right, Tyler, let's move on to our number eight most anticipated scene album of 2018, and that is I Prevail, which is coming out this year on Fearless Records again. I don't want to talk about this band.
I know you don't want to talk about this band. And it's funny because they're the scene band that isn't a scene band. They don't belong
Let
here
me.
and they don't want to be here.
Yes. Let me run the stats, because I gotta give the shouts. Gotta shout the stats.
Totally.
Lifelines, their most recent album, sold 20,000 copies first week. Bam. It's gone on to sell over 100,000 copies. Bam. Their single Alone was a massive rock radio hit. Bam. All of a sudden, they're Fearless Records' biggest band. I mean, they're right there with Pierce. You know? I mean, how much has Misadventure sold? Not that much higher than 100,000, right? Like,
No. I think they're at like
they're. And
120 or 130. I can't remember
Alone,
though.
Alone was a bigger rock radio hit than Circles.
Oh,
So it's like,
absolutely. Yeah.
I Prevail are kind of. They might be the number one band on Fearless now, if you think about it.
My biggest thing is, like I said, they don't want to be here, and the scene obviously doesn't want them. I'll never forget when we're looking back at I Prevail's history. I'll never forget watching Bless the Falls set at Warped Tour 20, what was last year? 17, and they had intersecting sets at the very end of the day, and I Prevail's got over before Bless the Falls, and there was just this stream of kids walking out and just walking right by Bless the Falls set and leaving the grounds. And I think it was Bo that got on the mic. One of the members of Bless the Fall got on the mic, and they're like, "Looks like I Prevail's set's over. Time to go home." And then Bo got on there, and he just started screaming "loser" at all of the kids walking by, which is how you can tell that your band is over, when you start yelling
Yeah.
"loser" at other fans. But yeah, I mean, they sold a hundred
There's
thousand traditional
a
copies.
reason Bless the Fall will not be appearing on this list unnoticed this
Yeah,
year.
spoiler alert: Bless the Fall is absent. But
Bless the Fall canceled.
absolutely, yeah, the new I
But
Prevail
so
album—it's huge.
But the thing is, they fucking suck, dude. Like, they're so bad. They're not good at music at all.
Oh my
They are,
God.
and I don't understand it, but I hear these beautiful stories about, like, you know, the dad and the daughter are both liking the same band and going to Warped Tour and seeing them. I'm like, that's fucking cool. And I back that. I'm just like, I don't know. I can see how Alone connects on rock radio with, like, the dude driving in his truck. I get that. It's a rock radio ballad. The rest of the music, though, man, it just, even their Taylor Swift cover, I'll go all the way back to that. It still sounds amateurish to me. They just sound like amateurs. They sound bad. I'm not mad. I'm glad somebody's doing something for the scene. I'm glad somebody's selling some records here. You know what I mean? I'm glad somebody's moving units. I'm glad somebody's repping on radio for the scene. I'm happy for this band and their success. It's just, I have to point out that they are awful musicians.
So I thought a lot about I Prevail while I've been on break
That's a
for the
terrible thing
holidays.
to say.
I know it
That's a
is.
terrible thing to say, Tyler Sharp.
I know it is, and I'm kind of ashamed of
What?
it.
That's such a bad use of your time.
I'm reading this incredible book called The Science of Popularity in the Age of Distraction, and it's, long story short, it's kind of based on this theory called the Maya concept. And Maya is an acronym that stands for Most Advanced Yet Acceptable, and I think you can interchange acceptable with accessible, and it still means the same thing, but both angles work. So when you apply that to I Prevail, when they had their videos go viral on Facebook, they reached the metal bro crowd. They reached the crowd that A Day to Remember didn't reach, because the metal bros think scene music is garbage, like inherent garbage, just because of the way people dress. I don't really understand it, but they just do. And that's, rock radio's mentality towards Warped Tour and alternative press and our world. So I Prevail was able to tap into the crowd that A Day to Remember could have, but also couldn't have, because of the way A Day to Remember looked, I guess. And we see A Day to Remember trying to tap into this crowd now. And I think that's what's crazy, is that A Day to Remember is trying to get the Avenged Sevenfold crowd, whereas I Prevail has come up in the scene, but already has
Yeah,
that
they
crowd.
already got it.
Right.
And it's just
That's why they're huge.
It's bizarre because that crowd has so many better options. Like, even the worst cock rock bands are just better professional musicians than these dudes. You
but
know
if
what I
you
mean?
bring
These
it back, to, if you bring it back to that, the Maya theory, I Prevail are the most advanced in a way that this is new for rock and metal bros. Even though this is the oldest shit in the book for us, it's a new idea for them. But it's also the most acceptable because it's the most bare-bone shit you've ever heard in your entire life. And that's why teenage girls can like it, and their dads. And that's why we see families going out to shows.
Oh, it's so bizarre, man. But I understand. I understand Alone. I can get that. I can get why that connects to rock radio. There's so many other songs that are just profound mysteries to me. Like how they got made, how they got okayed, how people actually streamed. I'm just like, who are you people? Like, I want to do an experiment. We got to move on, though.
We got
to our next band, Alice Sharp. Number 7, Beartooth, have a new album coming out this year on Red Bull Records, which is a great fucking label for a band to be on.
Mm-hmm.
So, aggressive, interesting album. It did 16,000 first week. That's big for Beartooth, I think. For a band that sounds the way they are. That was a good first week. And it's gone on to sell over 50,000 copies.
Mm-hmm.
Hate It. Big single at rock radio for them.
Right.
That was huge. I think, was it? It got in the top 10. Did it get in the top
5? It got in the top 5. Yep.
Yeah. That was huge. All of a sudden, you know, it kind of, like, that album kind of slow burned in a way. Like, it, you know what I mean? Once that single started heating up on rock radio, it got the album selling, and all of a sudden Beartooth were a big deal again, because it had kind of felt like they faded for a minute.
Absolutely. It's funny, I have slow burned in my notes as a way to describe the beginning of this album cycle, because aggressive, when it came out, it felt really lackluster. Like, upon first release, the first time you heard that album, kids just weren't talking about it the way they were talking about Disgusting. But once that single took off, man, this album absolutely slow burned. And we saw on Warped Tour this past summer, the dates that they played, they had the biggest crowds out of anyone. And I think it's time to have the conversation. You know, we're still going to do this episode, hope maybe potentially next week, of the 10 biggest scene bands. And they're in that conversation now.
They're in the conversation to potentially be in it. We are not commenting on whether or not they're in it. They are,
but they're
officially
in the conversation to be in it.
They will be brought up in the argument that Tyler and I will have behind the scenes, and we will somehow come to a consensus. Okay, so Hated, you know what I think? Hated connected. I think it just needed, like, the spotlight shine on it, because it kind of connects in the same way that, like, Beaten and Lips did. You know, like, that same sentiment of being the outcast, I think. And I think that being the outcast, that is a wave that I think Beartooth need to keep riding. Because Caleb has always kind of been an outcast. You know, he's even talked about that in his days of Mice and Men, when Austin used to pick on him. You know
attack,
what I mean?
Yeah. Got some revisionist history on Note to Scene here.
God. Yeah. Wow. Too many.
Can you imagine?
Shouts to all the ex-Attack bands. Shouts to all of you
them.
Out there.
All of them.
All of them.
We know you're
whatever.
Out there. You're still doing
Brightwell,
it.
Whatever.
Fucking Brightwell.
Okay. Okay. All right. We got to move on, Tyler. Next band. Number 6. Fall Out Boy.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Here we go. Mania is out January 9th via Island Records. January 19th, I'm sorry. Via Island Records. So far, we've gotten Young and Menace, flop, single.
Mm-hmm.
Champion, flop, single.
Mm-hmm.
Last of the Real Ones, flop, single.
Mm-hmm.
Hold Me Tight or Don't, flop, single.
Mm-hmm.
Half the record has come out, and it's not sticking.
There are no hits.
It's already been pushed back. It was supposed to come out when? September? Like,
yep.
Oh my God, really? I thought that was a joke. It really was supposed to come out in September?
No, yeah. Like, that was when the Mania tour happened.
So, you know, Tyler and I have talked this one to death. I guess we really don't, you know, listen to previous episodes. I mean, we've covered just this is the worst album rollout I think we've ever seen, Tyler, right?
It's safe to say this is a disaster.
Just a complete disaster. They're better off at this point shutting the whole thing down and just disappearing, right? And just not commenting on it ever again. Like, well, why didn't Mania come out? Pete should just be like, "What the fuck's Mania?" And interview, you know what I mean? And they could turn it into like the Lost Mania song.
I
maybe
wish.
20 years later. Like, but like,
I wish
this album
That'd be great.
shouldn't come out at this point. You know? Okay. And I gotta say, like, I don't hate these songs. They're just there's like this Fall Out Boy fatigue right now. Nobody cares about Fall Out Boy right now. And like, Young and Menace. Remember when that dropped? We were stoked.
We were stoked.
I like that song, Champion.
I still don't
I know
hate,
you hate it.
Champion.
I
sucks.
Like it. I like Champion. I think it's a good anthem song. I heard it played at some sports things. It didn't. To me, Champion is just as good as Centuries. Like and this is kind of my point. Last of the Real Ones. That's okay. And I actually really, really like Hold Me Tight or Don't. I like the Latin pop thing.
You're wrong.
I like Pete's lyrics. I love the lyric where Patrick sang, "I took too many hits off this memory," when he's talking about a girl, you know, and he's talking about how we were never friends. You know, he says we were confidants, but never just friends, implying that, you know, they should be lovers. I actually really enjoy the song. My point is, like, these songs to me are just as good as anything on American Beauty, American Psycho. They're just not sticking to something. I don't think, like, dude, Uma Thurman annoys the shit out of me. Centuries annoys the shit out of me. Like,
now, but we've heard those songs involuntarily thousands of times.
I don't think these songs are that much worse. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but not sticking.
I was a big fan of American Beauty, American Psycho. I loved that whole album, and it did 192,000 traditional copies first week. With streaming, it did 218. And it had hits.
It went platinum.
It had Uma Thurman. It had Centuries. It went platinum. I mean, it
went platinum. Million records.
Right, right, right. So
when you factor in streaming, SPS.
Hold Me Tight or Don't is the one that they're trying to push now, and
it's such a
cash grab on Latin pop. It's the most disingenuous thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Okay. I'm okay with the disingenuous cash grab. It's supposed to work, though, and it's not working. It's not going anywhere.
I agree that makes it worse, but it's like, are you kidding me, Fall Out Boy? You're supposed to be the innovators here.
If they got to if they got in the top 10, you know, all of a sudden I'd be like, okay, cool. You know what I mean? I think you might even lighten up on them if they at least got it in the top 10. You know, at least you're doing.
I'd still hate it, but I would be thankful that Fall Out Boy is having success. They can't even break the top 40 on top 40 radio right now.
You know, we just saw Paramore fall so hard.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, man, like, this release is looking worse than the Paramore release. And it's like,
my question is, have pre-orders been open for almost a year at the point this album comes out?
I don't. How is that?
Is that legal?
Because they scrapped the album and then they didn't. I don't know. I don't know, man.
Don't know. They could come out with even a bigger first week than American Beauty and American Psycho.
All right, let's assume normal pre-orders. Okay,
when did they start? What's a normal pre-order?
Let's just assume. Oh my god, I know. All right, let's just assume. Let's just take pre-orders out of the conversation for a sec.
Okay.
First week sales. Where do you see Fall Out Boy coming in at?
They did 218,000 last numbers. Time. There's
what?
Just, those are first week numbers or pre-orders. They matter so much.
No, I'm saying assume normal pre-order numbers. Where do you see them coming in at?
100,000.
Just like Paramore situation.
100,000.
You think they're going to do 100,000?
They're going to get cut 50%.
Man, it just feels so empty right now. Like, hello? Like, no one's listening to Fall Out Boy. Could they go to like 80 or 90,000?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they dipped that low.
It seems possible.
But what's crazy is that they had such high numbers for their album release tour that they played, you know, arenas in, and all these people showed out to see Fall Out Boy.
So maybe people are like low key buying Mania, but just not streaming it or watching it on YouTube or listening to it on the radio or talking about it on social media. Dude, you know, there's a vacuum around Fall Out Boy right now. There's something, they're just not in the conversation.
It's so sad.
It's not their time. Fall Out Boy goes through these. We went through Folia Dude. There are times when people just don't want anything to do with Fall Out Boy. And I think we're going through that period. It's like the Fall Out Boy eclipse. Nobody's interested.
This is different because, you know, we had Folie à Deux followed Thanks Infinity on High Up really quickly. And then the album was just bad for Fall Out Boy fans. That's why it flopped. But now we have this album that is coming as the band has taken a year off. This band didn't exist in 2016.
Just as being a Fall Out Boy fan for as long as I have, there's just periods, man, where people just don't, people get sick. There's a Fall Out Boy fatigue. It's like a real scene condition.
If the band is going through a bit of a fatigue, a bit of a drought right now, can they come back again?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like right now they need to be doing another Save Rock and Roll right now. Like clearly the minute Young and Menace didn't connect, or at least maybe the minute Champion didn't connect, they should have just disappeared. You know what I mean?
Three years later,
we all are like, oh, where's Fall Out Boy been? Oh, yeah, we fucking love that band. Remember these hits they had, you know? And instead, they're just pushing out these hits that no one cares about. And it's really unfortunate.
Yeah. I wonder, I didn't go to any of the Fall Out Boy shows or anything, but I would love to hear, if any listeners went, I would love to hear what those shows were like. Was it everyone just waiting to hear the hits, or were there people there that were actually, like, into the new shit to hear?
Because based on the numbers we're seeing, you can't even imagine that they're aware that those songs are out, you know?
I know. So right. I almost feel it's like a Taking Back Sunday show now. So.
We gotta move on, Tyler Sharp, to our next band, number five. State Champs, album coming out on Pure Noise Records. Where are you at with State Champs right now, Tyler?
They really should not be releasing this album on Pure Noise Records. Their last album did 13,000 first week. It did roughly like 45,000 on the cycle.
It's actually over 60.
What? Really? Yep. My numbers ended at 45,000. Okay. Well, that's
very recently. They've sold over 60, which is very impressive for a pop band.
That is a lot more impressive than 45,000. The question here is, can State Champs save pop punk? I have no reason to believe that this band can do anything for the genre. Their songs just aren't strong enough.
Yeah, they lack the big hits. But I think they have a really good singer that's going for them.
He's decent.
You just think he's just decent. He's not good.
I mean, he's a very unique pop punk frontman, I would say that. And with the songs that they're writing, I don't think it fits as well as it could. The best song this band ever wrote was Elevated. And I feel like they peaked with the hype of that album cycle.
So they need to get off Pure Noise.
Yes.
Obviously. They've reached, just like the story so far, they're at this point in their career where that label... It's not to hate on. We're not trying to hate on Pure Noise.
No.
They're good for young pop punk bands. But once a band gets to a certain size, you know, like State Champs should probably be on Hopeless right now. You know, State Champs could even be on a major right now. But
I forget that they're on Pure Noise.
Yeah, like I am anticipating this. I wanna believe. I guess is what I'm trying to say. You know.
As with any of these releases, I want to see a band succeed. Any band we talk about, we just need it at this point. The scene needs a band to succeed. And if State Champs is that band, go for it. But I just don't see it. Give me proof, State Champs. If anyone from that camp is listening, I need some proof
on
this album.
They're really at the crucial crossroads of, are they going to become a real friends? Or are they going to become a real band?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They could just become a fucking 10,000 first week real friends for the rest of their career. Or they could, you know, they could do something. They could make a move. They need some hits. They need some really catchy songs.
Yep.
They've got a rabid fan base. Yo, State Champ fans are crazy.
I know.
You ever go to a State Champ show? It's all crazy girls. You know what I mean? Like, they got it going on. They know what they're doing. They just, they need some more songs to connect. All right, let's move on to our next band, number four, 5 Seconds of Summer. Remember this band?
Who?
Do you remember this? Yeah,
who?
Like from like 01. they have a new album coming out on Capitol Records again, I believe. Last record, sounds good, feels good. Did 192,000 first week, and that was a drop, right?
Mm-hmm.
From the one before that, self-titled, which, I think did 200, close to 300,000 first week or something absurd, right? It was huge. that record went gold and everything. So they're making music again. It's been a while. I have no idea what is going on with this band and why they are, ruining their careers the way they are.
It's definitely a bit of an issue, and I think it's safe to say that pop punk's chosen ones have fallen. I'm really just not expecting much from this album because I've completely forgot about this band and they have fallen out of the conversation for an entire year when they should have been trying to rebound from the failure-ish of Sounds Good, Feels
Yeah,
Good.
failure-ish, because like there were fun, like she's kind of hot with fun, right? And the whole and My Chemical Romance conversation around it, but like it wasn't a hit.
There weren't
Like
any
they
hits.
haven't had a hit since she looks so perfect. You
Right.
know what I mean? And that was like a perfect fucking summer hit, man.
And
Like.
everyone who was obsessed with that song when it came out, like the casual fans who were just like byproducts of a hit, have forgotten about this band. That's the problem they
Yeah,
have
it's
going into this album.
they still do have that crazy 1D fan base
Right,
though.
right.
So, I mean, they're always going to show out. So, let
But
me see.
my question is, they have to become a pop band now, right?
Well, yeah, the last record we saw them pivot more to rock with songs like She's
Right.
Kind of Hot. They tried to be more edgier in rock and punk. But let's see what the band has to say about it. They give a quote. I think this is to EP
Billboard?
Magazine.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, Billboard. This is Billboard. Michael Clifford. He
Yeah.
says, "New singles, I would say, really, really, really early in the new year." Okay, so new single is coming really soon, apparently. Like maybe January, maybe February. Beastie Boys-ish, he describes it as. I
Oh
think we're just trying to
no.
find something. Yeah, I know that's
Oh
not a good. He
no.
says we're just trying to find something that fits into the modern pop streaming market, but also has something that we love and want to play for our fans. I think we've found it. So, I mean, that's kind of a promising statement. I don't know what he means by Beastie Boys-ish, though. Like, if
Yeah,
we're gonna see
that's
some
the
raps
o
in a Firepaws
that
song.
that's the only part of this quote that matters. Of course, every artist who's releasing new music is going to say it's good, but it's what they compare it to is what matters, and that is absolutely terrifying.
I'm still looking forward to it. Like, I'm always going to be excited to see what this band puts out. I had hope at one point, that they were going to be that band. It looked, they brought a pop punk song to radio again, and that was fun and that was
Yeah.
exciting. It was like the scene was starting to taper down. We weren't in this crash yet, but
Right.
things hadn't been that great. Pierce were missing. We didn't know where the fuck they were, and Bring Me probably hadn't came back yet. And it was like, oh, this is happening. Cool. A pop punk band is on the radio. And it turns out it was just like one last nice thing we got before every other nice thing got broken. But so I'm looking forward to this album. Like you said, I like to see them become a pop band or something like that. I don't know.
We'll see.
Who knows?
Could you imagine if they drop an album with no guitars on
Oh
it?
man, it's so funny. The people, the backlash and the backlash, the backlash with this
Right,
band
right.
is like, oh my God. Can you imagine people calling out 5 Seconds of Summer for not being cred enough? Like the full circle we
What
would
a
have made
world. What a
in a
world that
world.
would be. Yeah.
Good shit. Okay, number three, Bring Me the Horizon. Have a new album coming out this year on their major label, Columbia Records. If you've forgotten, they're not on Epitaph anymore. That's the Spirit was the fucking biggest deal. It sold 60,000 copies first week, somewhere around there. It's nearing about 300,000 copies total sold in the US. Happy Song was a big rock radio hit for them. Songs like Drown and Throne were just fucking huge singles from them on the internet, And Bring Me had like the best run probably of any scene band, I'd say, of the last few years.
And I don't want to have this conversation before we do the biggest scene bands episode, but this, if you heard our very
I
first biggest
do
scene band
stop
episode, this
talking.
band is the conversation for one of the biggest scene bands right now. That's what I'll say.
Yes, they're in the conversation for one of the biggest scene bands.
So
Let's not give too much.
the question here with this Bring Me album is, do they break out? And what do they have to do to break out? Because that's where this band is at this point. They don't want to be in the scene anymore. They're not going to play Warped Tour. They want to go play fucking Coachella and Lollapalooza and shit, and just be the heaviest band in those worlds out there. So my thing is, I want more Doomed. I want more Oh No. I want more Follow You. And to a lesser extent, I want another Drown. I don't think if they just come back with songs like Happy Song and Throne and True Friends, mm-hmm. while they're great songs, I just think they're going to corner themselves into a dying rock market. Because if you listen to those riffs on those songs, I was revisiting this album for this episode. Those riffs are just the most stock rock riffs, and they're so fucking fat, and I love it, but it's just a dying world. They need to keep looking forward. And I think those songs that I mentioned were propositions for the band to move in that direction. So I'm really hoping they're going to take it and run with it. And they have a lot of people on their team that are hopefully going to push them in the right direction.
I'm on the complete opposite side. I'm on the complete opposite side of you. I want like Drown, Throne, Drown, Throne, Drown, Throne, Happy Song. Like I'm down for more of that. You know, I like Drown was, I'll just never forget that day it came out. What a great song it was.
That's why I put it in those songs that I want, because it's just undeniably great.
And Throne was just like such a fucking curveball. Oh my God, I'll never forget the day that came out. I just played it over and over and over again. And it was like, we can be Linkin Park if we want.
It was the day after APMA's 2015, and you and I were sitting in your office when that song came out. And then we went out to lunch after that. And then you came back and you said it was the greatest song you've heard in the last 10 years.
I remember saying that. Yeah, I played it to death too. And then I think probably like 4 days later, I was like, I can't listen to this anymore. Like I think it was one of those songs, you know, where do you ever get in that where it's the car, just repeat for days. Like days, that's the only thing I'm going to listen to. Yeah. I did that with Throne, and I'm on the opposite side of you. I want to see Bring Me like have fun and make fun rock records like this. I want to see them just fucking like be that rock band, you know? Let's get rid of Imagine Dragons, you know what I mean? Let's push them aside. Let's push Bring Me up there.
They could get rid of Imagine Dragons with more songs like Doomed.
Yeah, I disagree with you on that. But we should move on to our next band, Tyler.
All right.
Number 2, The Death of a Bachelor. Or as they're also known, Panic at the Disco. I almost feel like Death of a Bachelor is like post-2015 Panic at the Disco's nickname. You know what I mean? It's like a different band almost, the Death of a Bachelor era.
Sure as hell is now with Dallin out of the way.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Dallin has been officially removed.
That's how we'll say it.
From the band. Yeah, he was properly removed from the band, right?
Uh-huh. Brendan is just a savage.
You know, Brendan, I've talked to Brendan a lot when I worked at AP. Uh-huh. And he's seriously the nicest musician I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these guys are assholes, and I'll tell you, you know, when they're assholes. But Brendan, I've just never known him to be a mean person. So, you know, I don't know what happened with Dallin getting kicked out of the band. I don't think Brendan's a dick, but, you know, I'm thinking maybe, you know, Dallin was, his star was starting to rise, you know, and he was becoming, maybe he kind of wanted to be more involved in this next Panic record is what I'm thinking. And that's not what this is about. You know, this is Panic 2.0, Panic rebooted. This is the Brendan show. This is what it's been since This Is Gospel. I think if he tried to have any influence over Panic's whole team, Crush Music, all of them are going to just you swarm down and get him the fuck out of that band, you know?
I agree that my interactions that I've had with Brendan and the things I've heard, super down to earth, nice guy, good guy. But when it gets down to business time, that dude don't fuck around. And I feel like Dallin's star was beginning to shine too bright. And he really, you know, he had his own fan base. He started that bullshit side project with X Falling in Reverse Drummer, whatever the hell his name is. Like you said, this is Brendan at the Disco now. This isn't Brendan and Dallin at the Disco. So when someone's starting to take over that...
Brendan and Dallin at the Disco. That's probably some weird fanfic on Tumblr somewhere.
Oh, God.
You know that exists.
Yeah, so...
Shouts to Milkfic.
So when... you know, when he's got a band member that's starting to rise more, I feel like, you know, when he's may or may not be pulling some of the light away from him, which is the ultimate focus and the ultimate selling point of Panic at the Disco, I think he just puts the kibosh on things. And I would put
more of the blame on his team than him. I mean,
I definitely think that's part of it. I don't think
Brendan Urie is in any position to be threatened by Dallin Weeks.
Like, I don't
the
think
dude,
so either.
Yes,
but
he had a little following, but like Brendan Urie's
right,
a fucking megastar. And, you know, I could see him trying to maybe be more involved musically, though, and that not flying.
Hey,
I actually want to write on this record. Oh, no, you sorry, Dallin, you get to make zero decisions.
For
you know?
Sure,
you
but
get
I
to,
feel like
you get to play live.
If there wasn't beef there, Brendan would have stopped it. You know, Brendan, if it was just the label's decision, Brendan would have
stopped
it.
Well, there's obviously
happening.
There's beef there because in Dallin's statement, you know, we're supposed to be talking about the new Panic record. We're talking about beef. But in Dallin's statement, he's like, I thank, you know, the label, I thank the team. He thanks everybody but Brendan in his statement about leaving the band, which I found that to be odd.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you thank Brendan Urie, who is the only reason this band exists?
Right.
But so, okay,
right.
So Panic.
So I have two questions here.
Okay, two.
For this new album, can Panic at the Disco have a top 40 hit, and they're already playing stadiums, can they overtake 21 Pilots?
Okay, so they had a really, really damn impressive 2016, right?
Absolutely.
Death of a Bachelor did 190,000 first week, which, wow,
mm-hmm.
Right? It went platinum. I looked this up. It was the 12th best-selling album of 2016.
I believe it.
That's
it was
wild.
Huge. It was huge.
It was huge. So to answer your question, Tyler, I don't know if they can overtake 21 Pilots. Like, we're yet to, you know, we'll see. We have to see what that band does. That's a big statement to make. You know,
I mean, we have an episode called that, so
yeah. But
if anyone started that conversation, it was us.
It's as we get close to these two bands releasing albums side by side, I don't know. You know, it's tough to compare because 21 Pilots, just as far as singles go, it's not even close.
Right.
You know,
of course. Yeah. When it comes to that, I mean, they just destroy Panic. But, you know,
I'm trying to think, what has been Panic's highest chart? Was it Hallelujah?
Yeah. The first single. That's what I would guess. If not that, then the title track. But
I think, yeah, that was their highest charting single. I did hear Don't Threaten Me With a Good Time a lot on rock radio, but I don't think it made top 40.
Okay.
Victorious, that had to chart, right?
Did it?
I don't know. I feel like it had to, though. It was so good.
It was definitely... God, that album is just chock full of bangers.
Okay, the point is, Panic are bigger than they've ever been. It's insane.
Yes.
And they're about to put out an album, and they could just become one of the biggest bands ever, and it's very interesting.
Yes,
absolutely. Let's move on to our next band. The number one most anticipated scene album of the year will surprise no one. 21 Pilots, the biggest band to ever exist, will never escape 21 Pilots. They own you for life.
The click is forever.
But they may have left, and they may be huge world superstars, but they started here in this scene.
Absolutely, right in Cleveland, or right in Ohio, Columbus.
So check this out. Blurry Face was. Remember how Panic was the 12th best-selling album of 2016?
Oh, God.
Blurry Face was the 10th best-selling album of 2016.
All
and
right.
It came out in 2015.
Oh, yep.
Like,
yep.
They just, that is how insane. And to compare 21 Pilots to Panic the Disco like we were, you know, Death of a Bachelor has gone platinum. Blurry Face has gone triple platinum, and is probably well on its way to, you know, four times platinum, which is funny because they had the lower first week. They had 147,000 first week, but
that's what's so
they got the biggest
here.
Singles. They had all the big, yeah, it's all in the hits.
It's
you make the hits,
hits,
you move units.
That's what's so interesting though. It was like going into Blurry Face, this 21 Pilots were big, but they weren't big, you know? This cycle just blew them up.
Bubbling.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, they were like, they were just right where they needed to be.
Yep.
And they put out the correct songs at the correct time.
Yep.
And it's funny because the first single, Fairly Local, didn't hit.
Right.
That one missed.
Right.
But the next one,
Stressed out.
was it Stressed Out or Tearing My Heart?
I'm pretty sure they put out
Which one
Stressed
came
Out with the
first?
album announcement, but I don't know how many
Okay.
Lucys they put out before that.
Because Stressed Out just fucking, I mean, like that, I
That
mean,
is
that
the
was just
greatest song ever written, apparently.
inescapable. Yeah, inescapable. And Tearing My Heart was so huge. And, you know, they had all these huge singles. They were even fucking like pushing a Heavy Duty Soul at the end there. And it made a legitimate run at radio. Like, it
Yeah,
was like doing
totally.
well. I was hearing,
Totally.
like, are you guys kidding? That was like their seventh single off the album or something ridiculous.
At that point, why
But
not?
just when you, like, right when you thought like they were done with the album singles, out of nowhere, Heathens becomes their biggest song ever. Bigger than, probably bigger than Stressed Out. Heathens was that, I think, as far as top 40 goes, I think that's their highest charting single.
Yeah.
It was everywhere.
It's just
And, you know, we learned from a little interview with Josh, with, not Josh, Tyler, that that was supposed to be one of the lead singles from the next album. So it gives you kind of an interesting perspective on maybe where the band are headed, maybe some darker themes we're going to get from them.
which is interesting because Blurry Face was already darker than Vessel. Like
Yeah.
there was some I don't know if I'd say optimism in Vessel, but it was felt like a lighter record. Blurry Face
Oh,
just there was so
absolutely.
much
Yeah.
weight in Blurry
Blurry Face
Face.
is dark, but like Heathens is like gritty and like
Heathens is
nasty. You
just
know what I mean?
grim. So
It's very grim.
my big thing with 21 Pilots is the sonics versus the thematics. And I still stand by this statement. I made it when they dropped Blurry Face. Without their lyrics, 21 Pilots would have much less of a fan base and they wouldn't be as near as big as they are. So the question is, can 21 Pilots keep it going? Can they continue the success train? And I
Well,
think Heathen showed us that Blurry Face and the hype wasn't a fluke.
no. They are a thing. They're gonna be around. The problem is though, Logic.
Say it,
Like
man.
Logic already, he just did him dirty. You know what I mean? He did him dirty. Like that Logic song, that was supposed to be the lead 21 Pilots single. I mean, it's their message. It's their whole. It's an anti-suicide message. It has the fucking car radio piano like in it. You know what I mean? It's like
What'd
that
you
was
tell me when
supposed.
it came out? Tyler Joseph lays awake at night,
Yeah, like,
staring at the ceiling, wishing he wrote that
yeah, it's kind of like post, you know, putting out Rockstar and Uzi just
song.
losing his
Right,
mind, you know,
right, right.
secretly.
Totally, totally.
Just how that happened a couple times this year, that in 2017. What an interesting year. But yeah, so can they keep it going? Probably. I'd say probably. How about you?
I think it's a safe bet
Like
to
if
go
you're going
on
to bet on a
21
band,
Pilots
yeah, it's
sides.
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good
But
one to bet. Okay. Any other thoughts on 21 Pilots stuff?
I don't think so. I'm so interested in this year, man. We have a lot riding on 2018 for the scene, man. There's
It's
a
all
lot that's
riding.
go it's all riding on this year. Can we
All of this we
rebound?
just talked about has to succeed or it's over. Like everything is riding on 2018. It wouldn't be Note to Scene without a pop story. So we just really quickly want to discuss our most anticipated pop album of 2018. Tyler, what is it?
It is Selena Gomez,
The girl,
the
the
girl,
home girl.
the home girl, the wolves girl.
You know, she really like struggled to find her musical career for a long
A
time.
long time.
And Revival kind of found her in this like mid-range pop star where she finally started to have success with songs like Look Good for You and Can't Keep My Hands to Myself. But she wasn't like, you know, Katy Perry big or,
Right.
you know, Taylor Swift big yet. But then in the last like year, she started pairing up with EDM DJs and it's working really well for her. She had that smash hit with Kygo, It Ain't Me. Now she has another smash with Marshmello called Wolves. And it's like she's making, I didn't realize it, but in earlier this year she had a really sweet song called Fetish that's like really dark. And I didn't realize she's making really good dark pop. Like we finally have our dark pop princess we've been dying for. Who would have thought it would have been Selena? She's like when I really examined her music, I'm like, oh my God, this is dark pop. This is great. She's doing it. She's doing the sad emo dark pop. You know, melodies and everything. It's great.
She
And
is.
I just want a whole album of it. I can't wait.
I know. I'm very excited to see what she's got for a full length. And I'm glad that she's finally having success. For years and years, this girl has just burned as like a bubbling under. Everyone is aware of Selena Gomez.
She's more of a celebrity than a musician.
Right, exactly.
And this is, and now the songs are finally becoming undeniable.
Right, and it wouldn't be a true Note to Scene episode if we didn't make a connection. So shout out to her Scene days. She also played in a band called Selena Gomez in the Scene. And before that, she featured on a Forever the Sickest Kids song. She's been intertwined throughout her early career.
Hey, man,
in the Scene.
Selena Gomez in the Scene, naturally, that song cooks, man. That song fucking burns. I will
she
rep
had some
for
bangers
some of that
back
Selena
then,
Gomez
man.
In the Scene. I was about it. Like, I was like, all right, let's make this happen. But it fucking didn't happen.
It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad at the end. But yeah, super happy for Selena, especially everything she went through with her health issues this year. She had such a successful year despite it all. And I'm really excited to see what she's got in store for 2018.
All right, well, that is it for the show this week, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. If you have any questions for the show, send them in to notetoscene@gmail.com. We will see you next week.